Welcome to the Muskie 360 Muskie Shop Bash iCast Wrap Up Podcast. Yeah.
Steve, how you doing out there?
I want to go to bed. It has been the week of all weeks. I mean, I just wrapped up literally, Jay, I come up here, drop the boat off. We knock literally in 2 hours, knock off a 40-inch tiger, right? Bam.
Yep. That was fun last Sunday, right?
You drive me to the airport. I go to iCast.
Monday morning. Yep.
Down there. I'm hanging out with Rick Klun. So Livingston just signs Rick Klun. I'm hanging out with Rick Klun the whole week. Bam, 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 bam. Fly back, Muskie Shop Bash. That's what matters. The bash was, I hate to say this, that was the best bash we've had.
It was awesome. Everyone had a great time that I talked to, and I talked to just about everybody that was there. Tons of people, tons of vendors, tons of raffles. I mean, you know, all the discounts aside, just about everybody that walked out of there with a free gift as well.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's you know, whether it's a, you know, a podcaster giving us gifts, or all the customers that got raffles. I mean, we had, you know, three rods, we had three tackle boxes, reel, and something like 180 lures that we gave away.
Hey, I'm pulling up in your driveway right now.
Okay.
Can you hear
me? Hey, I can hear the horn. Yeah, I hear the horn. Yep.
We'll just finish it. I think Neighbor Steve's, what is he doing?
Neighbor Steve's painting right now. So they have a little art project going on outside. So pardon the noise.
Here we are, folks. Vinny, we're doing it. We're doing it live. Forget it. We'll do it live. In the words of Bill O'Reilly,
live from beautiful Saint Germain, Steve.
Saint Germain. Anyway, the bash was awesome this year, and if you guys have been ones in the past, it's been phenomenal. This year just rocked. Herbeck was supposed to be there, guys. I apologize. He had a little bit of a health scare, so we'll talk about that maybe. But, you know, Herbie's getting up there. But other than that, it was great. We got to hang out with Duff from Supernatural, frickin' the guys from Beaver Baits, Dan Motes from Spanky Baits was there. You got frickin' Figure Eights. Everybody, Jay. Who was CNC? Yeah.
Shimano, Daiwa, CC Lures, Lakewood. Yep. Chaos Tackle, Muskie Innovations, Muskie Mayhem, Stealth Tackle, Slammer Tackle. Bill was there.
Yeah.
MM26. Yes. Fantastic event. We had it under a massive 100-foot tent in the parking lot. So
the big
everything was weatherproof out there, but the weather turned out to be great. It was a nice, cool day. Very comfortable to be outside. And, again, just thanks to everybody that was a part of it. We really appreciate it. It was a really fun day.
And then we had that one guy that comes from Slime Lander. Oh, writes all the that guy.
Yeah.
Watch out for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tom Rudis was there. Elmer was there. It was Elmer's birthday yesterday. Yeah. So there was a beautiful collage. Elmer was cooking his famous hot dogs and brats with his wife. So, and there was free cupcakes. You name it, Steve. I mean, what didn't happen yesterday?
Wiener King of the North. Really?
Elmer knocking it out of the park. Jim Stewart in top form. You know, your wife flew in all the way from Tennessee to help out.
She did. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Brought that country swag, they call it. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Bob in the house.
I know.
I mean, man.
It was amazing.
But it was.
Let's see. Do you have Bob's number?
Do I have Bob's number? I can look.
You should call Dr. Bob. What do you think? Let me send that. Let's see if we can do it on your end. I can carry the show. We tried it. We tried to call Duff, right? And I wanted to talk about the impact on some of these people, because what I thought was so amazing about the bash, and we've talked about in the past, and finally people got it because me and Jay gave up the ghost, if you will, which is, it's not about a muskie show. It is about talking to the vendors. What is this bait made for? What What are you doing with this bait? Because everybody there has a story behind their bait, right? No one gets into musky fishing to get rich, right? The guys from B&N Tackle from Ohio go, hey, this is what we do there. Maybe it'll work for you. The guys from Violent Strike, this is what we do here. And you get to talk to them with so, it's n there's no pressure. It's just so freaking chill. It was so nice this year. And I think the big top there and just the way I think we finally dialed in the bash where it felt great.
100%.
You know, 100%. The last component is getting Jay to just wear pants.
Well, we're going to do it again next year. It'll probably be, somewhere in the mid to late July. We'll pick a date. I'd
Right.
like to get it not conflicting with ICAST, because that prevents a few manufacturers, not
Yeah.
many, but it prevents a few from coming. They can't. They're committed to ICAST in Florida or wherever it's going to be held, probably Guam or Hawaii next year. Who knows?
Yes.
Somewhere exotic, right?
Yep.
And and if anything, I'd like to get, the biggest tent we could get is 40 by 100, right? And we had exterior stuff going on for food court type thing and stuff like that. But yeah, just
I'd
keep
say
building it
that
bigger, man.
I'd say the only disruption this year was really me.
Yeah. Well, if you guys were confused, if there's people confused and disappointed that they didn't get to meet Steve, probably because you had a label on your shirt that said, "Hello, my name is Dave."
Right.
So
Well,
that confused.
that got it, but when I listen, I got a little old-timey religion on everybody. You can't judge me, all right? Because I'm from West Virginia, so I show up there, right? I see a big old tent in a parking lot. The first thing I did was I grabbed two Savage Gear wake snakes and ran under the tent thinking we're having
Oh,
tent
revival
revival.
style. I get it.
Yeah. I
Right.
forgot it was a bash. I just grabbed the two
So
wake
it
snakes that
right. Your roots kicked in. Your upbringing kicked in. I get it.
it was binary for me, and Jim had to say, no, this is it's Saturday, not
No,
Sunday.
Steve.
It's Saturday, not Sunday. Put the wake snakes down. Put them down. Put them down.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
I was doing my thing over on the other side. Okay.
I got off to a rocky start. I thought, tent, parking lot, I need Savage Gear wake snakes. But other than that, it's pretty smooth, really.
But other than that, you do have some info you should share on your Livingston booth with the interest in some of these new
Oh my
prototypes you had out,
God,
huh?
that was ridiculous. So we've got, if you guys haven't seen it, you've got the Mustang, the new swim bait that's coming out. Cool. Great. You've seen it. Critter and Gremlin. And so what happened? We debuted those at ICAST. So Livingston had a big old booth down at ICAST in Orlando, which is like, that is an insane show. You know, I'm sitting here, I got Byron Velvic, I've got Randy Hale. Super excited of all things. And guys, something we're gonna do on the Muskie 360 podcast, I finally figured it out. Because Jay and I talked about it. Muskie fishing is great. We love it. But I have, and Jay just said it the other day. He's like, you have some of the most ridiculous friends in fishing. We need to bring them on, right? So most people wouldn't believe, but I spent the week with Rick Klun. If you don't know Rick Klun is like Kevin Van Dam's hero. He is the goat of bass fishing.
He was a hero of mine growing up,
I know.
when I was bass fishing,
Yep.
the crankbait king is
Yeah.
the way I've always, thought of
So I'm
him.
going to get Rick on. We spent the week together, like,
Oh, that'd be great.
so I'm hanging out with Rick and his wife Melissa and River, his son, and you know, Randy Howe and Laker and all these guys where we're gonna kind of bring it together here where fishing's fishing. I kind of realized it where I like Rick and I were sitting there talking and you know, the dude's 78. I mean, he's an old cat, but when he speaks, you gotta listen for real, right? Like it's Rick Klun. And what am I? He won his first classic the year I was born. Right?
Okay.
I'm 43. So 43 years ago, this guy's hoisting the trophy going, you know. And I'm talking to him, and he goes, do you know what matters? And I was like, I'm not going to spout off of the mouth. It's Rick Blunt, Jay. What are you going to say? Like, I'm Steve Ball. You know, shut up. What matters, right? You know, what matters? And he goes, the power of the pulse. Right? And I said, okay, what do you mean? Like this? And he said, there's power in every time you pause a beat. And he just says it so slick, you just go, damn. Mm-hmm. Which is the same thing as like, where we're telling you, like, speed kills, or you got to leave hang time, or this stuff, you know, and it's so
right.
Crazy.
It's certainly crossovers to musky fishing.
I know.
And
he's they call him the Zen master in musky or bass fishing for a reason. And it parlay. So we'll kind of gab with them, but it was cool, man. That ICAST show was insane though. Got to meet Steve Harvey from Family Feud.
Okay. Really?
So, hung with Steve Harvey a little bit. Swivelo Reels had Steve Harvey. If you look at Swivelo Reels or Steve Harvey's Instagram and all his social media, here's Steve Harvey throwing a Swivelo Reel, which is super cool, right? You got that going on. And I had him on the podcast, Jay, someone to talk about. Just a great guy, which is Byron Velvick. And I've not talked. It's so weird because I'm not, and I hate to say it. Like, I try not to, like, we just talk about Rick Klun, so forget about, we're not name dropping past that. That's about the biggest they get, right? So I'm standing there with Rick Klun, and here comes Kevin Van Dam going, Rick, thank you for everything you've done, right? So I can give it up and just talk about my friends. So, like, Byron Velvick is a really good friend of mine, which you know that, Jay. He invented the Viper. So me and Byron are thicker than thieves, and I did that little podcast with him. We're going to try to bring some of this stuff in where, like, some of these bass guys with their ideas, but it's crazy, man. I'm down there. It's like me and Byron are walking around, and here's Roland Martin. Here's Jimmy Houston. I might, and everybody just put your hands together. I believe we're going to have Bill Dance on the Musky 360 podcast here very shortly. And so these are all my Tennessee bass friends, you know, so I'm down there. It's like Rowan, Scott Martin, Jimmy Houston, Bill, and all these guys. But I think there's some stuff we can cross over here, and I'm not saying bass stuff, but after Rick said, like, the power of the pause, I went, man, that's it. And just bring some of these other voices in, because musky fishing is such a small world, you know? And I think it's important to bring this stuff in and hear it from another voice. And it doesn't get more authoritative than that. And
no, I 100% agree. Having any one of those legends on.
Oh, beyond. Beyond. I mean, if you say musky fishing legend, dude, JSE is a musky fishing legend. I mean, you'll go down. You've done so much for the sport over the years. It's unbelievable. But you go, Bill Dance, I mean, he probably shakes off a muskie, but I want to learn from these guys. And I think that's my next journey, man. I really think so, which is like keeping the brain on muskies. But what do they know that we can all learn from? What do they know? Whether it be reading the water, whether it be a tournament mindset, whether it be, just to ethos, what do these guys have that we can steal from? And I want to bring that in because, you know, it's just like, if you didn't see it, Wagner just dropped a Livingston video the other day. You know, I'm going to go fish with Glenn from 54 Bust here in a couple of days. I mean, this is a tiny little world. You go to ICAST, it's kind of piddly, you know, and we don't know it all, but I want to really pick these guys' brains and One step closer to Buck Perry, man. One step
Well, I was
closer.
just going to bring that up. It's just like, how influential is a guy that invented the spoon plug? How influential has that achievement been to the sport of musky fishing and structure fishing, right?
He's a bass angler.
He's a bass angler. He doesn't musky fish. Crossover information, crossover intel from these legends of fishing,
fishing
in general. It's just like fishing.
I just want, like I said, I don't want to bring it in a weird way, but there he is. I just, watch out, Jay. He's by the window. He's by the window.
No, we got painters out there?
No, there's paint. Oh, that's neighbor Steve. But like I said, I hope nobody doesn't like, whoa, it's not a musky guy, but I mean, I'm sitting there freaking having, again, it's not a brag or something like that, but
yeah,
when I'm sitting there, like, I have access to these guys and I'm friends with these guys, like, yeah, we should have Ike and Ellie on or Mercer on.
Well, the difference between this podcast and social media, if you want to see a picture of someone holding a fish, great, fine. Social media, right? The podcast is reaching a different point.
Always has, always will. And it's funny the amount of people like that we talk about listening or whatever. And I did that back and forth this week. I'm sitting there with distributors. I'm sitting there with freaking people from Bass Pro. I mean, that's the one thing in musky fishing. A lot of people don't realize that Livingston is, I think, the only brand in musky fishing that has a serious musky line and a world-class bass line.
Yeah,
we have. We have Tom Brady now. We got the GOAT.
What?
The GOAT, greatest of all times, Rick Klun.
Oh, the Tom Brady of bass fishing. Oh,
yeah,
he is. Yeah.
Well, he might be the Terry Bradshaw. There's a debate there. Is KVD the GOAT? And then, like, Rick Klun's like Terry Bradshaw with four. I don't know. I'm not a football guy per se that much. But, I mean.
Well, he's at least a Brett Favre, right?
Oh, he's beyond that.
I knew you were going to say that.
What was freaky is this.
Hmm.
And I've never seen it before. I'm just talking in it. Maybe that's a weird thing with our podcast. I talk to all these other podcast people down there, and they're all like, Pro and me and you're like podunk idiots, but you know, I talk to these people there, and it's like, how do you have him on your team and how are you friends with him? But when me and Rick just sit there and talk, it's just talking fishing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
It's not a thing. It's just is what it is. And you look at somebody that's made that much money, or whether you can, whatever metric you want to judge by, whether it be money or impact or relevance, pick your poison, it doesn't matter. But that guy has just had so much of whatever you want to call it. But it's the same thing. It's structure fishing. It's dialing in. It's reading the weather. It's getting your mind right as much as anything. And what blew me away, because when I look at modern bass guys, what are their boats full of? They're full of rods. And I asked Rick, I said, how many rods do you fish? He said, one.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He's not your atypical bass fishing type that has 14 rods and reels rigged ready to go, because I'm on a different color worm, a different color jig, and a different size crankbait.
He wants it to.
Every stomp I fish.
He wants it to feel right.
Hmm. Okay.
He said everything's in your hands. This is a tactile sport. It's mental and it's tactile. I went, oh, you need to be on the podcast.
Great.
Because I mean, when it comes to musky stuff, a lot of times we're truncating what we're doing with one or two setups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of expense. Rick Klun can have, you want to talk about getting free stuff, buddy? I'll tell you what, Rick Klun could walk around that place and take anything he wants. He is a one rod, one reel kind of guy. And I asked him, I said, what matters? He said, reading the water and structure. That's all that matters. He said, getting it close to a bass and you'll win. I went, oh, you're my Huckleberry. Right? One rod, get it close to a bass and you'll win. I went, this is what I'm talking about, which is the, it's not like, Jay, we're not trying to talk about some like winning ethos. We're trying to talk about let's put one in the boat, which is the same thing as these guys that have to do it for a living on that front, which is catch the most and the biggest. It's feel, it's reading the water, it's feel, it's being dialed in. And he actually looked at me in the face, and again, this guy's a legend. I'm not gonna sit there and debate him, right? So I'm not telling him what I do. I'm asking what he does. And he's going, well, how could you ever be dialed in if you don't know what your rod and reel feel like? I went, agreed. But that's kind of the crossover that I learned from ICAST. It kind of blew my mind that there are some people out there kind of running the same play. And you're looking at structure, you're looking at reading the water, that's all that matters. That's it. It transcends. So when I'm getting confirmation from somebody that is the goat amongst the baddest dudes that ever picked up, I mean, musky fishing's great. I love it, but would you fish for bass for $1 million a year, Jay? Yeah. But when you're looking at these guys that make $1 million a year bass fishing and they're saying the same things that we're doing to catch muskies, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm in. Double down, which is it's not the latest and the greatest. It's about presentation. It's about proximity. It's about tactile feel. It's about reading the water and structure. So we'll get some of these guys hooked up here, and like I said, if you guys can tolerate a little bit of crossover, and then we'll all laugh at them and say, well, they don't have teeth. So.
Well, let's hope it doesn't go that direction.
It will. It
And
will.
people understand.
Yeah, well, what does the shirt say? Well, that's the problem. We boxed ourselves in, dude. We got these shirts. It's like every other fish is bait. So we're it's like it's obligatory that we quick strike a bass. I don't know if that's legal, but don't do it. But if you can get one. Anyway, what is your read, Jay? What's the read on the Northwoods right now? We got the bass wrap up. We got all this stuff. My read is this. Josh Krieger will be doing his Northwoods podcast with consistency, or he'll be wearing a diaper. So other than that, Jay, what do you got?
Well, when we were working the last couple of days, it seems like an enormous amount of big fish caught. One of the guys
Yes.
that was working the
Fortunately,
spanky booth came
yeah.
up. I talked to actually two people that fished the night before the bash, so it was Friday night. Leaf came up and he took a kid out. He got his first muskie and they boated five fish.
Jeez.
Five fish. Mainly after dark too. So he had a riot and fish were active. They've been more or less active all week. It's much of the same patterns, but it's midsummer now. It's peak water
Yeah.
temps and there's been a lot of topwater fish caught. There's been a lot of bucktail fish caught and the swim bait bite remains constant and obviously it depends on conditions, time of the day and all that, but yeah, plastics prime time right now, and we're gonna go out later today, and
Yeah.
we're gonna shoot some kind of touching back on what you're talking about with the crossover stuff. That funny. That's kind of the basis on at least one video that Steve and I want to get done is kind of a reading the water and assessing a bait choice. I really want to do a bait choice. Why? Why do I want to throw a bucktail right now? Why is a bucktail wrong choice right now? Depending on conditions, the lake you're on, the time of the day, the moon pattern, all these things, weigh into it. And well, no one needs to tell Steve how to get that, convey that very effectively on film. And let's just say it probably won't be a short video.
Oh,
It's gonna be awesome, baby, is what I'm saying.
you better take me to lunch first.
Well, we'll get some food. We'll
Get
get
me
some
cl
food and then we'll go out fishing.
You get me cleaned up enough to do my job.
You got it.
I just kind of roll in like a monster,
Like a
folks.
hermit.
Like a guy that lives in a Jeep. You know, it's been something else. The swim bait bite, you know, Jay and I went out. We had just a few moments the other day. It's like, oh, let's find the deep weeds, roll the slow roll a swim bait, whackety schmackety.
Yeah, and Steve's like, Jay, can you see the bait pods in the on the back camera or on
Yeah.
the back unit? And it's like,
Graph, yeah.
there they are on the graph. Yeah, there they are. Holy cow. Because they were in specific areas that day. And yeah, it
I
was a
said they'll be
mid-afternoon thing.
I
Yeah, it
said
was
they'll be
beautiful.
here. Yeah, they'll be
They
here.
were. They were.
What do you do? You
Catch
throw.
them and let them go.
Catch them in the face right there. So no, it's been crazy. Like I said, I apologize again that we missed the episode. Jay and I tried, but it has been brutality. I this is the first time I think I've had signal worth anything on my phone or my computer worth anything doing here. But a lot of big things cooking here. We'll get it rolling. Jay, we have so much Q&A. If we don't get to some of this,
Yeah,
people
sure.
are gonna riot. They'll be burning down the trailer park.
Well, let's get on it. Let's do some Q&A.
No, don't tell me what to do.
Steve,
I'm trying to get
Q&A,
there.
do it.
I'm
Come on.
trying. I'm
Come on.
pulling it up on my phone. I'm
Honk
pulling
your
it up
horn
on.
again. I love that.
That's how they know it's live. Bam! Hi there. This is my first summer muskie fishing. We've landed some amazing fish. I'm quickly realized that muskie fishing is the greatest form of fishing ever created. I'm wondering about water temps and delayed mortality. Is it ethical to fish muskies in water temps over 80 degrees? If you do land one in high temp, what's the process of keeping alive? Oh, right to it.
Right to the summer blues.
Right to it. So the dogma of muskie fishing is you do not do that. I think it's the safest thing to do. We could debate that tirelessly. It has been done. Let's try to not do that. For the especially if he's new to muskie fishing, so we have slow handling, slow hook cutting, slow this, slow that, right? Is that gonna be the kiss of death for a fish? I don't know. What do you think, Jay? I mean, I'm so conflicted because you're like Jordan Weeks doesn't think it's a thing. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, the consensus is generally 80. That seems to be the magic number where people get real panicky. 80's hot surface water. It really is. And you can see the reactions and the nature of fish when the water when they are in that specific temperature zone. They seem a little off. They seem a little sluggish when being released. That being the case, don't take them on the net. Take a picture of them in the net or something, or just lift them for just a little bit out of the water. Try to keep it under 10 seconds. There you go. Problem solved. They should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna have people loving you for doing it. I mean,
It's pretty rare around here where you really have 80 plus degree water for any long period of time. And granted, it's just a top layer. They're not
well,
in that, you know.
I
Go
would
ahead.
say my biggest thing is if you see it on the trolling motor head, that's a problem. If you see it on the transom of your boat, who cares? But if the head of your trolling motor, which is deeper than the transom of your boat, is like 80, yeah, that's probably problematic. You know, just depending. I mean, how deep is a transom transducer, Jay, on most boats? A foot?
Right, if
You
that,
know,
yeah.
when you put your trolling motor down, it's 80 degrees, 3 feet down. Come on. He's coming inside your house, the scare clown.
Oh boy, really?
You see him?
No.
Grab him in the hallway.
We'll try to get him on the podcast later, but let's answer this burning question. Literally.
Well, moving on to the next, Lawrence, in episode 291, you go into great detail regarding hook removal and fish and persons. Fantastic job. I think there's also a radical option. Go barbless. Many benefits, easy hook removal, quicker releases, easy to remove from nets, less damage to the net, less damage to the fish. I initiated this practice a year or so ago. I'm a weekend warrior and opener. I had 3 fish. He goes on and on and on. I appreciate it. Yes, barbless is the safest option for hook removal. You definitely don't have to. I mean, if you get a barbless hook in you, it's just like getting stabbed by Smitty, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But Jake showed me this move the other day. Do you know why they get, why, do you know why the Smitty shank is barbless, Jay?
Why is that, Steve?
More kidney shots quicker.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Failed to mention the both Smitty's, Russ and Jake, were there. And thank you guys for coming. So
what was scary is when Jake Smith looks me dead in the face, right? We're there. We're by the boat. And he says,
kind of a stare down.
Yeah. And he goes, wait till I catch you in the yard, son.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
No, he had a bad week. So I'm glad things turned around for him. And the Smitties were at the bash. I mean, what more can you want?
It was amazing. One of my favorite things. So I unveiled practically the new Steve Paul rig, right?
Okay.
You got the topo map wrap. You got all this crazy stuff. It looks like, you know, it's all black and white and all this stuff. And I walk by my boat and I see the tiniest little thing on a prop. I'm like, what's that? There's like a 1-inch by 1-inch Smitty sticker they put on my prop. And Jake goes, how much does it cost? How much did that cost? So they just got in there, right there on the prop. They just stuck it to me.
I thought you were going to say they keyed it or something like that.
Which is typical. Josh, I want to start with a huge thanks for everything you guys do. I'm new to muskie fishing. This is my second season targeting. These fish with little success. I've seen them along the side of the boat. Haven't got one so far. I live in central Minnesota and struggle at times to contact fish. I primarily fish on weekends, typically in the early a.m. to mid-afternoon. With that info and that app, it's been very helpful. Questions. So he's got a couple here. What time of morning do you typically start to move deeper? I know things like water temp, water clarity, and clarity play a role. Second question ties in. He's got like 7 questions here. I'm looking.
No, I like that question about what time. We're talking about midsummer, days.
Dude's talking about reading the water.
Sure.
He's asking what time, when, where. Why, when, where. We're going to try to do a video on this, which is going to be difficult. Jay has to feed me first.
Mm-hmm.
He quit. That son of a bitch. Neighbor Steve's MIA, Jay.
He's done painting for the day?
Yeah.
He's had enough?
Just quit. He's getting into his costume.
But let's hope so.
Hold on. Sorry. But anyway, lure choice, timing, structure, all these different elements, that's reading the water. So we'll work on that. Let's keep rocking here. What we got? Craig, I'm going to be going to the Manny chain of lakes over Labor Day. I'll be there for the week. I'll be staying on an island. I don't know. We have 2 fishermen. I'm paraphrasing him. We're going to turn around. Again, what do I do that time of year? Reading the water. So much of that, Jay. I mean, there's so many questions here. Guys, we're going to do, if you're asking, let me put it this way. I'm tired. If I sound tired, I apologize. But if you're asking, what do I do during my trip? What baits do I use and how do I do it? That is reading the water. Right? When, where, how? Say it with me, Jay. Ready? When, where,
How?
one more time.
When? Where? Yeah. Well,
Meh.
yeah, Craig, he's picked a very exceptional chain of lakes to fish on to do his trip, for starters. It's diverse water, and there's a lot of big fish in there. Your Labor Day or post Labor Day, boat traffic will slow down, obviously,
Right.
tourist season wraps
Yep.
up. It's also pre turnover. There's a lot of when, where, hows that are going to fit to that equation on your trip. So, yeah, that's difficult to answer shortly, but you're on good water, and once you get dialed in, you will be successful. I can almost guarantee you that.
Yeah, it's one of those things like it's that's a I'm not trying to skip over a question. We have so questions. We have so many, but it's like overarching, right? And we've got to break the water down. So we're going to work on that in a video form. You'll see it on the app and Muskie Shop. This one's for you, Jay. Zach, could you walk me through your mindset for tactics? Clear water versus rocky water. Clear vegetative, panic rocky water. What do you got?
Tactics on those two styles. Okay.
Well, so you got a vegetative clear body and you got a rocky tannic.
Clear vegetative. Okay. Well, big plastics this time of year would be a huge player, and that would be something bait choice wise that you'd want to focus on. You're going to want to fish deeper, and it would be probably great trolling too on edges. Dark, rocky, tannic rocky, did he say? What was the other?
Well, so he's comparing clear and vegetative, tannic and rocky.
Tannic and rocky. Well, can't be top waters in that
Squall.
situation. Yeah. Dark water, muskies high in the zone. They'll be active high in the zone. Bait fish will be active very shallow. So find the bait and find good areas to fish, and keep the baits colorful, fluorescent, loud, and lots of stop and go stuff.
There you go. Bang, bang. Hold on, I'm looking here. Sauncey. Hey, Steve and Jay. Love the podcast. Listen to every episode. I'm heading the chip with my family chasing Louis Spray's world record. We'll be there the last week of July. Any
Okay.
tips for that time of year as far as structure type we should be looking for, lure type? Again, where, when, and how. But P.S. I think my family might kill me for how much I talk about or looking for structure and muskie fishing now. So, guys, let's just cut to it. So, structure is the map, conditions are the guideline, right? Where, Jay, what is the where of this thing? Structure. Right? When is conditions, how is bait selection. You need to remind me of that on the boat later after you take me to lunch, right?
Right.
Where, structure, how, conditions. What did I say?
How? Bait choice.
Right.
Writing
Now.
down now. We're getting some good ideas. We're getting some good stuff to work with here, Steve.
Folks, I'm tired. I dropped Jody Michael off the airport at 4:45 this morning.
Yeah, she was super cranky too, wasn't she?
Oh, just a like a little bear cub.
Ouch.
She's a little cubby anyway.
It's early, Steve. Too early, I say. But yeah, no,
What did she say to Tom one time?
one time.
My baby.
Steve's my baby.
He's
He's
my
my
baby.
baby. Yep.
I'm like a. There goes the scare clown with a ladder.
Yeah, he's moving fast, doing a lot of
Really?
painting today. Yep. Nice makeup, huh?
It's kind of amazing.
Terrifying.
But that's just, I mean, muskie fishing is a game of where, when, and how, right? Where should we look? When should we look? And how is it's bait selection, right? So where is structure? When is timing? How is bait selection? What do you do?
Yeah, and if it's a Chippewa flowage you're going to, that's a shallow water environment for the most part.
All right.
I'm sure there's lots of local information you can get there when you roll in, at the
Yeah.
cabin or at the resorts, and as to what the, type patterns
I
have been
mean,
working, but don't,
for
yeah, if they all tell you throw a bucktail with lime green blades, because that's been this thing for 20 years on the Chippewa flowage.
right.
A lot of fishermen caught on that pattern. Great. Maybe try one, but
But
don't
most
put
of the
your,
time it's
yeah,
like,
have a
oh,
jerk bait. Yeah.
they love top water in the Northwoods. I mean, it's immaterial. I mean, that's how you end up on the level of like, oh, what are we doing? We throw bucktails. You've got to read the water. You got to read the conditions. We're going to work on. There's a scare clam. What are you doing, neighbor
How
Steve?
you doing, buddy?
Did he paint the house
He's
with blood?
it's done, yes.
He painted. Neighbor Steve just got done literally the entire. I just put up the house. It's painted with the blood of horny teenagers, Jay.
He didn't put like the frowning or the smiling clown on that one side like he did last
Oh, he
year, did he?
painted it in teenagers' guts. The scare clam lives. Folks,
Sure
if you ever stay up here, watch out. It's a full moon night.
Steve knows better than to turn his back.
Don't turn your back on the scare clam.
Or drop the soap.
Or don't drop the soap on the top of the hole. Jay?
Yeah.
Don't drop the soap on the scare clam is what he just said. But anyway, I mean, where, when, and how is just like I said, it's going to be reading your electronics, reading the water. But I don't even think it's a matter of electronics as much as it is simply feeling the vibe of what's taking place on the water. I mean, so often you go out like in Jay's River Rig, right? You don't have two panoptic setups or this, that, or the other. You're just vibing off of what you're saying, which is, what is nature telling me? What's the moon phase? Is it this? Is it that? And it will, like I said, we're trying to work on that real time in the for video ideas as we talk, and it becomes pretty obvious of what we need to do. Convey that, but it's conceptual. It's not. And I was trying to tell a guy in the booth this yesterday at the Muskie Shop Bash. Muskie fishing is conceptual because we have to conceptualize what fish are doing. Right?
Yeah, very true. Absolutely.
It's not conceptual because I want to get heady and I want to be the Mitch Hedberg of muskie fishing or Carl Jung or whatever, I'm not trying to be waxing eloquent and doing all this stuff because I want to sound this or that or the other. That's what it takes. You have to really conceptualize how everything in that environment is going to influence these fish. It is what it is.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Are we?
When, where, and how? Muskie fishing. You can see the title and lights right now. It's going to be beautiful.
Dale says, past episode is mentioned Jay was the expert in river fishing and pocket pool. Is this a late night Northwoods thing? He can teach us. Moving on. Next. You teach pocket pool classes?
Steve, no.
I don't write the questions, Jay.
No, you don't.
Remington, what would be a good beginner lures for Juanita River muskies? I have a small collection. Nine Inch Glide and a couple Chad Shads. Like to expand my knowledge. What are some good river muskie baits, Jay? Please help me here. I'm setting it.
Gotta have some spinner baits. Gotta have some spinner baits. Yeah. Whether you have rocks, whether you have, you're fishing a lot of blowdowns, a lot of trees in the water, or whether it's a weedy stretch of river. Yeah. I mean, they all excel at that. And I mean, there's a million spinner baits on the market that all have a specific direction that they go with, you know, whether it's deeper running, whether it's super shallow, like you can buzz it, like you can run it as slow as any bait you can possibly imagine. That's the cool thing about a lot of spinner baits stock without adding weight or modifying them, is that they can be run slower than your average inline bucktail. And of course, most of them have single hooks and they're extremely snag resistant and weed resistant too. So, it's a win-win when you're fishing rivers. They flutter great. They drop great. They helicopter down. You really can't do that with an inline, you know? So if you do have a lot of current and you can play with that and eddies and different cuts and stuff like that, and, versatile tool, you gotta have it.
Wally says, "Hey fellas, love the podcast. I have a vertical jigging question. My friend who and I, my friend who I fish with hates vertical jigging. Would it be beneficial for me to vertically jig while he casts?" So that is a secret squirrel thing on Lake of the Woods, by the way. Vertically jig next to someone that is casting.
I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
Big time.
Big time. If I'm in 10 feet or under, throw your blades through your bucktail, bounce one off the bottom. They'll come and look at your bait and just nail the vertical jig. Fuzzies. Jay, what else do we have? We got Fuzzy. You got Pegasus. Got your Bondies. What else can you do?
The MI, Musky Innovations. I'm drawing a blank. They've got a similar
Grenade
tool. Well, any jig presentation, there's a million of those, but vertical jigging. What else? What are we missing here?
Well, your Bondy, obviously.
Yeah. If you can find one, they're tough to get.
Right now.
A lot of them right now. Yeah.
I don't mind that Pegasus from Chaos anymore, but Trayvon, it's pretty good. You know, so Terry, hi, I am a musky angler in Northwestern Ontario and have a question about post spawn behavior. We have very low water in the Winnipeg River system. I'm going. How does low water affect the behavior of these fish post spawn? It just truncates structure. That's it. I mean, musky, do they have memory year to year? Yes. But they deal with what they have to deal with. That's it. You know, they're not going, that's last year's water level and I'm going to feed exactly there. They're going to deal with it as it comes. What do you think, Jay? You fish rivers all the time.
Yeah. Low water. Yeah. It not just dropping water, but low water situation where it's stable, low water.
Mm-hmm.
I had to deal with that last year and, it depends on the system though. You know, particular system I fish, it's plagued right now by the low water, which occurred last year, extreme low water kind of wiped out the vegetation growth. You know, usually if it's low water for a short period of time, it won't kill it. But for some reason, the natural weeds are not where they're supposed to be in the stretch of water with full pool levels. So yeah, it affected it big time, negatively in this case, but
okay.
Like you said, structure's always the key. I mean, if it's still fishable water and that's, there's, you know, an active fishery in there, structure.
Well, here's the suck fest, Jay. So my phone is saying we have to end the podcast because we're going to run out of time here.
Okay.
So we are going to double back. What, Sunday, guys? There's so many questions. We're so apologetic here. I would like to do more, but I don't have time. Literally the phone storage. So we'll try to get back on the laptop next week. Jay Bird, say something.
Want to thank everyone for participating in the bash this this last week has been crazy, and we appreciate everyone that came and participated, and everybody that listened, and everybody that missed the podcast last week. Thanks for hanging in there. And Steve's in town, so watch your wallet, and check your six. I mean, we're gonna be on the water today, baby.
I'm after my nap.
Your nap. Okay, Steve, well, wrap it up, and we'll get you tucked away and fed, and then we'll go from there, right?
Later. Sound like a plan?
Bye-bye.